He's tipping. There he goes. Jubilant seems too mild a word.
That event itself lasted about 2 hours. It took place in front of the Palestine Hotel, which coincidentally was filled with journalists from all over the world. Just days later, Donald Rumsfeld hailed the toppling of the statue as a historic event that would forever change the future of Iraq.
The scenes of free Iraqis celebrating in the streets, riding American tanks, tearing down the statues of Saddam Hussein in the center of Baghdad are breathtaking. We're seeing history unfold, events that will shape the course of a country, the fate of a people, and potentially the future of the region.
Just about every news channel covered that. Many of them covered it for hours and hours, replaying the scene of the statue coming down every 4 to 6 seconds. But what exactly was the importance of the statue coming down, if any at all? Reporter Peter Moss writes about that in The New Yorker, about how the whole story may have been misrepresented and who was at fault. Peter's also the author of Crude World, The Violent Twilight of Oil, and he covered the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan for The New York Times Magazine. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
All right. Well, first, you went into an investigation of the toppling of the statue, and it sounds like you were trying to discover whether or not it was a manufactured event, right?
Exactly. I mean, I was there when the statue was taken down, and I'd always remained curious about really kind of what was going on behind the scenes, you know, whether this was, as it was portrayed at the time, a great kind of authentic moment in which Iraqis deliriously took down the statue with a little assist from Marines, or whether, as some people had it, it was kind of a setup, a huge photo op that had been arranged slyly by the military and that everyone had fallen for once again.
Well, it sounds like from what you discovered was that in one way the conspiracy theorists were wrong. It was not manufactured. The army tanks rolled in, these Marines rolled in and found Iraqis, a few Iraqis, not a whole lot, standing around the statue trying to look for a way to pull it down, and then they helped, right?
Well, what I found was that it was manipulated, but just not by the force that people had thought it was manipulated by. The military actually hadn't planned this in advance. I mean, the battalion of Marines that took down the statue didn't even know where Firdaus Square was, had no idea there was a statue there. Their commander, the battalion commander, did not give a command initially to, like, start tearing down that statue. What happened instead was that actually this was more manipulated by the media, by the several hundred journalists who were there, who, by the force of their presence, by kind of the demands that their cameras just in their own presence make, initiated and kind of, you know, encouraged Iraqis and particularly the Marines to do dramatic-seeming things, and these were presented in a very dramatic fashion. And the manipulation, therefore, came mostly from the media rather than the military.
Although, Peter Moss, I admire your reporting, and I just also, as a matter of disclosure, you know, admit to being a complete cynic about the Iraq War, which I also covered. It just seemed to me with the embed program and with the, you know, cameras stationed on the front lines and at the point of the spear, you know, you could say that about virtually every aspect of the Iraq conflict. It was completely staged and orchestrated for primetime news, whether we're talking about surrogate stand-ups from embedded journalists who look like they're waving hi mom to soldiers back home, to this statue incident.
I think that most of what happened in that war wasn't staged in that way. I mean, most of what happened in the invasion was, you know, the usual sorts of things that happened in invasions in terms of lots of violence inflicted by the invading army as well as those who oppose it and people getting killed in the process. That was what the invasion mostly consisted of. There were moments, you know, you can talk about the whole, you know, saving Jessica Lynch type thing and other aspects of the invasion that certainly were information operations in certain respects. But there was a real invasion going on, and there was, you know, real drama going on in that sense. There were, however, also these moments when there was a certain amount of manipulation going on, where the military was very cognizant of the media, used the media. This makes it no different from any other military or any other military operation in the course of time. But Firdaus Square was kind of an order that, you know, I had certainly never experienced before, and I'd seen quite a bit.
Well, and you talk about how the modern military has started using the media as a strategical tool. But let's delve into a little bit of what you think the motivations are. I mean, there's a certain sense in your article about these journalists who were in fear of their lives. They thought they were in grave danger, and so the arrival of of the Americans made them feel very jubilant. They felt a sense of victory, and perhaps that influenced their reporting. But there are also some reporters that you quote who say that they downplayed this incident because there were more important battles going on elsewhere in Baghdad, and that was altered by their editors back in the States and in London.
Precisely. These were two things that happened that to me were quite dramatic and revealed a lot. There were a lot of journalists there who were themselves quite relieved and spoke about it quite openly at the time on the air, as well as afterwards, quite relieved that the Marines had come to Palestine, the Palestine Hotel, because the journalists who were there had been under threat, a lot of threat and psychological pressure from the Mukhabarat, the security services of the Saddam Hussein regime. They were under threat from mobs that were beginning to loot Baghdad, and they were under threat from the American military, which had shelled the Palestine Hotel just the day before and killed two journalists. So a lot of journalists there were understandably quite relieved and happy to see the Marines, and this infected their coverage. On the other hand, you also had a lot of editors back home who themselves, for different reasons, certainly weren't under the kinds of pressures journalists in Baghdad were, but for different reasons, political reasons, for reasons of patriotism or whatever, were delighted to see American tanks, you know, in the center of Baghdad. And so they kind of injected their own sense of you know, the importance of this moment, despite some of the journalists in Baghdad who actually kept very cool heads and said to their editors, look, this isn't a story. I talked to one photographer who was on the phone, a sat phone with his editor while the statue was being brought down, and the editor said, why are you talking to me on the phone? Why aren't you taking pictures? And the photographer said, look, you know, this is just a show. There aren't very many Iraqis here. This is done for the benefit of the cameras. The editor told him, you know, stop talking, get off the phone and start taking pictures.
But in a sense, there's no getting away from this event of Saddam Hussein's toppling statue is something that we will see inevitably in the future, because the journalist's presence in war and the way that journalists affect war is now a part of modern warfare.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, press relations have always been an important part of warfare. You know, my hope is that we kind of understand that as journalists and also as viewers and consumers of media, we need to kind of resist the seduction of dramatic images, because the fact that something is great-looking, is dramatic-looking, takes our attention, doesn't mean that this actually is either the story or tells the story of what's going on.
Although nobody remembers the statue coming down anymore as much as the Abu Ghraib pictures or even other images afterwards. It seems like it's lost in history.
Well, the thing is, you can say it's lost in history, but I think it shaped history, and that's why it remains important, because it did shape this idea, this sort of euphoria that lasted for quite a while, that, hey, the war is over in Iraq, nothing to worry about, go home, don't turn your TVs on to this anymore, and TV and other journalism outfits turn their attention largely away from it. So it shaped history. It shaped the drift away from Iraq.
We'll have to leave that there. That's Peter Moss, author of Crude World, The Violent Twilight of Oil. He recently wrote a piece called The Toppling in the latest issue of The New Yorker. Thanks so much, Peter.
Thank you.
Which is all about how that statue's toppling did shape history, a moment that went on for quite a long time. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.